This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Guys, this morning I just had this word on my heart that it's been on my heart for quite some time. And it's called the Kingdom of Peace. The Kingdom of Peace. And while I'm sharing that with you this morning, I do feel that there is such a need in all of our lives to experience real biblical peace. Amen. We all come to a place in our lives, whether it's a crossroad and you feel like you don't know where to turn to, or the enemy has been coming at you with all kinds of stuff, whether it's depression, anxiety, fears, sicknesses, family issues, financial issues. We all need to find a place of rest and peace in Him. So I just wanted to share some scriptures, but as we look at the scriptures, I want you just to open your heart for what the Holy Spirit wants to share to you personally. Amen? Because I do feel that there's a word for you, for where you're at in your life. So turn with me to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 17 and 18. By the way, it was really good to have James and the guys on the village a couple of weeks ago. James and Jerusha and some of you guys came to visit us that weekend. It was really fun just to worship together and just see how the kingdom of God can look like, how the body of Christ can come together. I'm really excited to see that. Every week, actually, we have so many groups of people coming together just to worship. So, Romans 14, we read, for the kingdom of God, Romans 14, verse 17 and 18, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I feel like that is what we need to press into. We need to press into these things. The peace of God, the joy, the righteousness. And I want us to look at the righteousness. Righteousness is what we need to understand. That's our position in the Spirit. Righteousness is our place in the Spirit. We can't tap into the joy. We can't tap into the peace if we don't know who we are. Amen. And I think the enemy is working overtime to cause you and I to forget who we are as sons and daughters of God. So before we can tap into that true, authentic peace that Christ gives us, we need to be aware of who we are in the Spirit. And we're talking a lot about identity on the village because, as you can imagine, we're dealing with the orphan spirit a lot. We're dealing with broken hearts a lot. But once people understand who they are in Christ, they can tap into that peace and that joy and that life in abundance that Christ came to give us. Amen? So I'm just laying foundations here. We're going to read scriptures. So that is my style. I don't want to just talk about something that I haven't experienced myself. I do feel like God has taken us on a journey personally over the last 4 years on the village. Having been in church, being a pastor's kid, having been to so many conferences, you know, we've seen how the enemy is working overtime to steal the peace of God's people. And I personally, I'm tired of that. And God has given me a mission to break the thing over the lives of people. Because God is going to raise us up to spread peace. Biblical peace. I want to talk to us about what Christ-like peace is and what is the peace that the world offers. Because there's a difference there. But I wanted us to look at the scripture in Romans because he says the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, that is our position in Christ. That is our position in Christ in the kingdom as believers. Bible calls us oaks of righteousness. That is our position. In other words, it's about being in right standing with the Father. But it's also a place that we sometimes want to earn our righteousness. Bible talks about self-righteousness. And that is not what this is all about. It's about the righteousness that comes from God through the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us. You can't tap into real righteousness through striving. by trying to make this real to you. You cannot. It's only through the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. And when we find that place of truth, when we encounter truth, that's when freedom starts to take place in our lives. That's when we taste genuine freedom. Because where the Holy Spirit is, there's freedom. Amen. So knowing your position, and that's a place where we need to continually be aware of, because that position is going to keep us going through the storms of life. When there's deception happening in this world, even in the church, knowing that position is going to keep you going, because there's a lot of other voices out there, a lot of other messages out there. It sounds like the gospel, but it's not the gospel. So if you don't know who you are, there's going to be a tendency to partner or to come in agreement with something that is false. Jesus talks about that in the next scripture we're going to read. John 14, verse 27. Jesus says here, he speaks to his disciples, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Clear distinction there. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus is saying, guys, I'm giving you a peace here that the world doesn't give you. The world is offering a peace to you. And it's shouting your name. It's calling your name. It's calling my name. Come over here and connect with this thing. Come over here and partner with this new movement, whatever it may be. And it's calling our names through social media, through Hollywood. It's calling your name. It's calling my name. And it wants us to partner to a false peace. This world is promoting a false peace. And if we don't know the difference, we're going to find ourselves continually looking for that peace to fill the emptiness, to fill the void. And if you are on this earth, you will face troubles. You will face persecutions. You will face difficulties. So there will come a point in your life that you are going to ask for peace. You're going to look for peace. But are you looking for that peace in the right places? So the world is promoting a false peace. And as I've been ministering to people pastorally, especially counseling, I find that many people that come to me for counseling, most of those people are trapped in this false peace. They don't know how to get out because they've made an agreement with a spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. They were in agreement with a false peace, and they were at a place of desperation. Many of us are there, amen? Desperate for love, desperate for affection, desperate for peace. And the enemy knows exactly your weaknesses. He knows exactly the times when you feel most vulnerable. And he sometimes brings people on your way to give you something to make you feel happy or high. All of us want that high. None of us want to be down low. That's normal. God created us to experience new things. God created you and me to have that high, to be filled with joy. But joy comes from the Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Happiness is based on what's happening around you. Happiness is based on moments of experiences, what you experience around you, what people tell you, what they think about you. And we look for that affirmation in the wrong places. So Holy Spirit wants us to come back to foundations. Your righteousness, your identity is in Christ alone. Amen? Bible says anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new, have become new. So Jesus is, and I love what he says here, and I've read this so many times. He says, "The peace that I give to you, it's not the same that the world gives you. It's a difference. But because of deception and because of just the the peace that the world promotes through social media, through Hollywood, we sometimes don't know the difference. And we find ourselves getting latched onto a false peace. And we carry this thing. We are in agreement with this thing for weeks, months, even years. And we don't know the difference. So when Jesus says, follow me into this next season, we don't know if it's Jesus or if it's something else. And I found that in my life as well. There's a time, in fact, the Lord gave me a vision about a year or two ago, where we faced some difficulty on the village in ministry and with some of the children. We clearly faced an opposition, an attack. And I was like, Lord, I don't sense your peace right now. I really need it. I'm desperate for peace and rest. And during worship, I saw this picture of the Lord. And I just saw, you know, the robe. Sometimes we read in Revelation where John had this vision of Jesus. Remember, he says, I saw this white robe. The hair is white as wool. I just saw the white robe. And I could see the Lord was walking through like almost like debris, a building that collapsed. And his feet was filled with blood and cuts. And he just looked at me and he said, will you follow me? And he walked through the mess, through the broken pieces. And he asked me the question, are you willing to follow me? In my heart, I said, yes. But in my mind, like, uh-uh, I'm not going there. But it spoke to me so clearly that sometimes when the Lord asks us to follow him, it's not a walk in the park, literally. Sometimes it's a messy place. But if we trust him, all will be okay. All will be well. Same with when he told his disciples, guys, we're going over to the other side. Remember the story? And the storm came. Jesus was fast asleep in the boat. And the storm came. And the disciples didn't know what to do, so they woke Jesus up. And he said, why are you so filled with little faith? You have little faith. He actually expected them to walk in their identity and to speak to the storm. So Jesus woke up and he said, peace, be still. The instruction was, we're going to the other side. What is the instruction the Lord gave you this week or this year? What is the other side looking for you this year? I believe God has given you a word. He's given you an instruction. But there are things coming your way to distract you. A false peace. Don't go there. Go over there. So you want to know the voice of the Lord when he calls on you to go to the other side. He wants you to be attentive to his voice. Because the Holy Spirit will not lead you into a place of deception. And there's a secret place that I love. And it's in Psalm 91, verse 1. I've read this verse so many times, but it really hit home the last couple of months. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells, not he who visits. Big difference. We are called to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place is a place of prayer. It's a place of prayer, place of worship. When the enemy comes at you with his weapons, the Bible says weapons will form, but they will not prosper. So let us not pretend we're in heaven. We're not in heaven yet. We're on the earth. No weapon that forms against you shall prosper. But when weapons form, where do we go to? The secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm sharing that with you to say this. There's a place of rest for you. There's a place of peace for you. There's a place of joy for you. Amen? And it's found in the place of prayer. And so when we went through this time on the village, having so many opposition coming at us, we literally had a riot. People wanting to break down the gates. And we had to grab all the intercessors together. We need to pray. We found that place of peace. We were in the storm. The storm was coming at us, but we found the place of peace. The Bible says, there's a peace that I give to you. If we can turn to that scripture, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. You guys still with me so far? I believe God will set you free and just give you perspective this morning that all will be okay. All is well. Philippians 4, verse 6 and verse 7. I'll read it for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So how do we get out of this messiness? How do we escape the turmoil, the fear? Through prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's sometimes the toughest part. If we're in the midst of a storm or a trial, how can we give thanks? How can we give praise when clearly everything around us is falling apart? When the Lord called me in that vision to follow Him through that mess, I had to tap into this space here in my spirit and say, Gunther, you will rise up. You will walk in your identity and you will walk in the peace of God. But I had to find that secret place. I had to find that place of rest. And sometimes we don't get that place of rest because we don't ask. We don't get that place of peace because we don't know how to draw near to God. Because we've been so burdened with this. I can say it's a burden because false peace is not giving you real peace. False peace actually puts you further and further into deception. It might be pornography. It might be alcoholism. It might be gambling. It can be whatever. It doesn't give you that satisfaction that Christ gives us. So we hold on to these things because, or it can be a relationship. You're in a relationship right now and the Holy Spirit spoke to you to get out. But because you feel so fulfilled, you feel so affirmed, you don't want to walk away. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit to break that allegiance, to break that partnership we've established with this person or with this addiction. We can call it sin because sin separates us from the Lord. But the Holy Spirit wants us to be made aware of the peace that He gives us. So how do we get the peace? Through prayer and through worship. And I love it when we come together like this. You know, there's always such an atmosphere when we gather together corporately to worship the Lord. Because when we worship, things start to lift. When we worship, we turn our focus on Jesus. I don't care what happened outside of these doors, but when you walk in here and you worship, things start to happen. God is putting something together in your heart, causing you to come in alignment, in agreement with His Spirit. That's what we're talking about this morning. I'm talking to you about having an agreement with the Word. Because the Word of God can come to us in our personal devotional time. The Word can come to us in a corporate setting, but are you in agreement? God will not force Himself upon us. Are we making an agreement with the Word, with the peace that Jesus gives us, or are we in agreement with something else? Because we can be here right now, say amen and hallelujah, but walk out and then continuing to agree with a false peace. And we find ourselves in cycles of failure, cycles of defeat, cycles of addiction, depression, and anxiety. That's why Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, continue. Not a once-off thing. Can you see that? We need to continue to make our requests known to God. Okay, and then the promise there is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds. So, this peace that comes from Him, that Jesus gives, it's a shield. So you can walk through the storm. So you can be on the ocean and the storm may hit, talking about in the spirit, but there can be a peace that can shield you, protect you from the lies, protect you from opposition. Jesus says, in this world, you shall have tribulation, you shall have trouble, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. That is what we have to be reminded of from time to time, that Christ overcame. And it was so amazing just to share this again over Easter weekend, and we look at the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. We need to be reminded from time to time, not just over Easter. We need to be reminded that there's victory in the cross. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in His blood. And I just felt this morning that we need to be reminded of the blood of Jesus. So we need to be new covenant believers. And I just felt that for you this morning as well. New covenant believers have a different way of thinking. If you are in new covenant, if you're in covenant with Jesus Christ, your thinking is different. Because you know who you are. You know what the blood has done for you. You know where you're going. And it will change your lifestyle. If you're a new covenant believer, it will change your lifestyle. You're not going to walk around in the old covenant anymore. Jesus Christ came to He tore down the veil. The veil has been split. So we have boldness to come to Him freely. Amen. And I thank God for the body of Christ that we can grab each other's hands and come in agreement and pray. I want to encourage you, do that. I don't care about the numbers this morning, but where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is. And He commands His blessing. And I believe that as you, and this is what I feel right now, as you come together in agreement, we will see momentum. We will see momentum and we will see breakthrough in the spirit, but in Durban as well. Because God has positioned you here strategically in Durban for such a time as this. I don't care what you've been going through as a church. I know you've been going through some ups and downs. You've been hit hard. But I do believe that when the Lord releases a word over the city through a church like Shofar, His word will not return empty. It's up to you to embrace it and to come in agreement with that word. Don't let the enemy distract you. Don't let him lie to you. Because that's what he does. He's the deceiver. And I just wanted us to be reminded of the new covenant, because the new covenant causes us to walk in authority. And that's what I wanted us to also sense this morning. There's authority in you through the blood. So the new covenant gives you authority. It puts you in a place where you can exercise the gifts that God has placed in your life, in the marketplaces, in the schools. Politics, God knows we need that. We need real peace. We need kingdom to manifest in the political sphere. So many of us are not called to be here, but many of us are called to be in the marketplaces. So I'm encouraging you to draw on that wisdom that God has given you. Draw on that grace that He has given you and release the word that He has placed on your heart. So get together in groups, get together and talk about the promises of God. Talk about the word He has given you corporately. Talk about the word He has given you in your families, one or two, and take communion. Because as you do that, you're being reminded of the new covenant. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, in remembrance of the new covenant. Because in that place, your mind will be transformed. If you think new covenant, the principalities will flee, because they hate the blood. They hate the power of the name of Jesus. While preparing this message, last 2 days, I've been under heavy, heavy attack. My wife will tell you that. Because as I looked into the new covenant and preparing this word for you, I knew there was opposition. And I just wanted to say this, that weapons may form, but they will not prosper against Shofar Durban. Not against you and your household, because the name of Jesus Christ will be lifted high. As you walk into your homes, as you walk into different spaces, you declare the name boldly. You speak life. You bring hope. Take anointing oil. Put it over your houses, over the windows, the doors. Anoint your feet if you have to, because that's just it's a symbol of your position in Christ. The anointing makes a difference. And I just want to talk about what Paul says here, Dr. Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. And you don't have to turn there, but he says, people in the last days will be self-centered. They'll be lovers of self, lovers of money. And we're living in a self-centered world. What can I get? How can I be filled with peace? How can I rise up to a higher level? And this isn't the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is to give. Give, and it will be given back to you. Jesus said, seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto you. And I want us to just be reminded that in this kingdom, there is provision. In this kingdom, there is grace, there is peace, there is joy, there is everything good that heaven can give us. But if our focus is not right, we're going to miss the rhythms of the Spirit. Because God wants us to seek kingdom first. What is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Let us pursue true righteousness. Let us pursue peace that comes from Christ. Let's pursue the joy. We pursue it in our gatherings. We pursue it in our daily walk with the Lord. And I want us just to know that sometimes when the Lord when He prompts us to do something, let us be obedient. Let us be obedient, because in that moment can lie your breakthrough. In that moment when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something or to turn away from something that you've partnered with, be obedient. Be obedient, because obedience is what's going to take us to the next level. It's not our revelations, by the way. We can have revelations till we're blue in the face. We can have books stacked up to here. But if we don't implement that, we're not going to reach the other side. And I believe this church, and I'm talking to myself as well, we've received so many revelations and word and encouragement. But I believe this is a time when God is calling you and me to walk it out. We're going to walk it out. And that comes through acknowledging the presence of God. Because who said it? Moses said, Lord, we're not going anywhere if your presence is not with us. So you can go someplace, even though it looks messy, but if the presence is with you, you'll be okay. Just be aware of the rhythms of the Spirit. Jesus said, my commandments are not burdensome. So He won't put something on you that's going to cause you to walk in depression. Whatever is causing you to feel depressed, that's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a spirit of joy, amen, and of peace. So just be aware of a religious spirit as well that wants you to feel like you're doing a service for Jesus. Just be watchful of that, because if the Holy Spirit is not there, your service is self-righteousness. It's a hard word, but let us know the difference between what is religion and what is Spirit-led services. Spirit-led services will not cause us to walk in man-made principles. Man-made principles weighs us down. What the Spirit gives, it gives life. It gives the peace that comes from Jesus. And then I just wanted us to know that there's a place of repentance. If we have identified that there are certain things we've partnered with that have not caused us to walk in authentic peace, it's a place of recognizing that and saying, Lord, we repent. And that's an amazing thing to do. And I think people sometimes don't want to talk about the word repentance, because it pushes them into a corner, perhaps. Oh, I now have to look into my heart and search things that I don't want to look at. But that's good. God wants us to search our hearts. Because sometimes when we walk with stuff for months and years even, we don't know what we're carrying into the next season. So God sometimes brings us to a crossroad where we need to repent so we can walk into place of victory. So Acts 3 verse 19, I'll just read it. Acts 3 verse 19 says, repent, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that's the good news. When we've made agreements with sin or with a false peace, when the Holy Spirit convicts and when He prompts us to walk away from that, He wants us to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. I acknowledge the new covenant here. I acknowledge the power of the blood. And I cut ties with these agreements. In Jesus' name, I cut ties. And sometimes you do it by yourself. Sometimes you grab another brother or sister to do it with you. Because in that space, there's accountability. You walk away from that. And times of refreshing comes. And when it comes, it's glorious. When it comes, the real peace comes on us. When it comes, the real joy comes on us. We don't have to fake it. It's real. When the Holy Spirit is there, when the cleansing comes, it's real. It comes from your spirit. Bible says, from your spirit, from your belly will flow rivers of living waters. Talks about walking in that peace that no man can give you. So this world is promoting a false peace to cause us to just, you know, be entertained. We had a rough week, or we're going through a rough time in our marriages. Go do this thing, escape into that. That's what it is, really, is to escape a reality. And it's something that paints you a beautiful picture. But when Monday comes, Monday is giving you the real thing, you know? And that thing that you've entertained is not going to carry you through. The sense of this world, the pleasures of this world lasts but for a moment. And so when the Holy Spirit prompts you and he brings an awareness of something that you need to let go of, be obedient. Because there's a real peace that awaits you. There's a real joy that awaits you. And I've been talking now a lot about the vertical relationship. I call it like that because that is you bringing your heart before the Lord, being in right standing with Him. That's what we need to do. Being saved, the getting born again, it's not a once. There's a day when you give your life to Christ. And it's a public thing, but we're also walking it out. Amen? We have to take up our cross and follow Him. That's what I had to do in that moment when I saw the picture. How much time do I have? When I saw that picture, because I can. I can keep you here till tonight. No, I'm joking. When I saw that picture of Jesus with blood on His feet and cuts and bruises, I knew it was a picture of me taking up my cross and following Him. So the Christian life, I don't care what they've preached. I don't know if they said it's going to be all fine and sunshine and roses, but there's a place of real joy. You can have that real joy and peace in the midst of that. And you can have that in the midst of a situation where others are running away. When others are panicking, when others are filled with fear, you can walk into that space and bring real peace and release it because you are in peace with Him. That's my next point. I want us to look at how can we release peace to the broken. And we can see that happening on the village. Obviously talk about it because that's where I'm at. I can see it happening in the lives of children and mothers and community members. Coming into a space filled with fear, filled with depression and anxiety, gripped by the orphan spirit, not knowing who they are. But once they encounter true peace, there's transformation taking place. And so many come to us, the children come to us, and they release that peace. They release their joy. And I realize many, many times, if we don't become like children, we can't inherit the kingdom. We can't taste the kingdom, the righteousness, peace, and joy. And sometimes we make it so much about ourselves. How can I figure this thing out, Lord? What can I do for you? He said, no, just forget about all that. Just turn to me. Have your eyes fixed on me, and I'll give you peace, and I'll give you rest. Jesus made this invitation in Matthew 11. He said, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon Take your yoke, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. He said, learn from me, guys. I'm gentle and I'm humble at heart. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord. We can study him. If you study him, you'll find humility. If you study the Lord, you'll find grace. If you study the scriptures, he's all over it. You'll study it and you'll find there's a gentle Savior that wants to give you rest and hope. He came to give you life and life in abundance. Enemy came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So let us just be aware of his tactics. So what is our position now? Now that we know who we are being called as ministers of reconciliation. Now having been reconciled to the Father, he's calling you, he's calling me to be ministers of reconciliation. It's not a political party, I promise. And now we've got elections this week. But this is kingdom. Kingdom doesn't wait for elections. Kingdom is the real deal. And we are called to bring that into different spaces. We're not going to walk around with banners and call on people to elect who or join a movement or to sign up their names here and to join Shofar or to join this ministry. No, we're going out there because we have encountered the real peace. We've been reconciled to the Father and we can be ministers of reconciliation. If you've encountered that, you don't have to pretend. It's going to ooze out of you. It's going to just bubble out of you and overflow. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 23, my cup overflows. He anoints me with oil, my cup runs over. That is found in the place of prayer and the place of worship. When you encounter the real shepherd, Jesus Christ, doesn't lead you astray. He leads you beside quiet waters where you can find rest for your souls. That rest for your souls is what's going to set you up for the real mission. The mission God has given you and me, we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. All creation waits for the sons and daughters of God to rise up. While the world is dying out there, the world is broken and they're looking for a real peace. And they can't find it. They find it, they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And they're getting empty, empty and empty. So who are we to withhold it? We are called to bring freedom and peace. So, Jesus, when I read the scripture last year, I believe, Matthew 5 verse 9. We can actually turn there, please. Matthew 5 verse 9. I was really confronted with something, and I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to just make a shift in my mind about what it means to be a minister of peace. Matthew 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We are called to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Just hear me well. Just hear my heart. Sometimes, as Christians, we don't want to go into the situation and confront the lie. We rather want to keep the peace. We rather want to be politically correct and not confront a lie, not confront deception. But God is calling you and me to be peacemakers. Peacemakers meaning we go into a situation where it's messy and we bring the truth. Amen? We release the truth of God's word and we establish kingdom in that space, whether it's at your school, at your business, wherever you find yourself. You can bring correction right there. And that comes when you've been aligned to the Spirit of truth. When you've been aligned to the Spirit, aligned to the Spirit of truth, you will sniff deception. But not only that, you want to keep the peace, you will go in there, you will confront the lie with the truth of God's word. And I feel like God is elevating Shofar Durban. He's elevating you into a higher position of authority. And it's calling on you to confront the lies. It's not about being popular. God hasn't called us to be popular. He's called us to be bold, to confront the lies. So we're not called to be peacekeepers. Called to be peacemakers. So we're not avoiding conflict, or we're not tolerating sin. We're bringing in truth, and we're bringing hope in a hopeless situation. So as we just close here, I just want us to be reminded of, again, I can share about your title, perhaps, or talk about the mission God has given you. But again, it starts with that authority. If I know what I'm called to do, but I'm not authorized to do it, or I don't know my authority, I won't be effective. You know what I'm saying? You can't be effective if you don't know who you are. And I think the enemy has robbed the people of God from that awareness of who they are in Christ. So let us just look at the last scripture, and I'll pray for us. It's in Romans 8, verse 15. Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage. Amen. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. There's sonship. Sonship brings authority. Sonship brings authority. Because if you're in a place of sonship, knowing who you are, you're going to go out there and you're going to release the peace. You're going to release the joy. You're going to release the hope. You're going to bring reconciliation. You're going to bring reconciliation. But it starts with knowing that you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So there's no fear in us. Amen? God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind means we can be sober-minded. We can go into situations with clarity, knowing who we are, knowing whose we are. Not, and this is the other thing that I've noticed, many Christians are almost like they're being intoxicated, for lack of a better word, intoxicated with this false peace. They become blurry. Their vision becomes blurry. They don't know who they are anymore. They've made agreements with other things, and they become cluttered. The enemy wants to clutter your mind. But God is bringing clarity to our minds this morning. Amen? To be sober-minded. And sober-mindedness just comes from that awareness of who you are. You don't need the world to tell you who you are. You don't need the politicians to tell you what you need. We know who we are and we know what we need. And He supplies all our needs. It's in Christ. Because the kingdom is constantly clashing with this world system. God is bringing a separation, and I can see it happening all over. There's a separation taking place from this world system, and He's calling out His church. We're called the ecclesia, the called out ones. We're called to be separate, and we can't function separately in authority if we've made allegiance or agreements with the world system. Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, the place of holiness. When we walk in that place of holiness, we walk in real peace. Jesus says, the peace I give you is not the same as the world. And I just feel like for us, just let us just be aware of that. I know we're in the middle of the year, are we? Nearly. I'm counting down the days and months because baby is coming in about 3 months. Thank the Lord. We've waited 6 years. Lord is so good. But I know many of us may be tired. Maybe restless, maybe you've waited for something to happen and it didn't happen. And the temptation is there to go to a false peace, to make an agreement with something that is not of the Lord, because you want it quick, you want it fast. Like you shared, Albert, about, you know, the tithes. Like, the clock is ticking, I need this thing now. But wait on the Lord, wait on Him, and you will find your strength being renewed. So faithfulness will be rewarded. Can we maybe just stand and I'll pray for us? And just, yeah, search your heart and what the Holy Spirit has maybe prompted you, or, yeah, if you feel like there's something you need to let go of or repent of, bring it before Him. We'll be here as well afterwards to pray for you, to pray with you, to come in agreement with that. And we'll trust the Lord for miracles. Amen. Let us pray. Hallelujah, Father, we say thank you for the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We enter in the holiest of holies because of the blood, not because of our own works, our own efforts, Lord. We enter in because of what you have done on the cross. So we acknowledge that right now, and we thank you for the peace that you give us, Lord, not as the world gives. And we acknowledge, Lord, that the peace you give brings life, it brings hope, it brings healing, it brings joy. And right now, Father, we want to just corporately say we are sorry for coming in agreement with a false peace. We lay that down in the name of Jesus, and we will not let that rob us from the real peace that you give us. So, Father, I just pray for this congregation. I thank you for Shofar Durban. I thank you, Lord, for what you have promised them. Thank you for the many prophetic words that have gone out over this church, over the people in this church. I pray, Father God, they will know that you are not a liar. You are true and you are faithful to your word to perform it, Lord. You are watchful over your word to perform it. Help us to come in agreement with your word. So, Father, I thank you just for your peace that surpasses all understanding, being a shield over the hearts and minds of your people, Lord God. So, Holy Spirit, may the word that I shared this morning bring transformation. May it bring alignment to who they are in Christ and a true awareness of their identity and their sonship. And I thank you, Father God, for authority, Lord. I thank you that as we move out into different spaces, Lord God, we can bring peace into a dark and dying world and be ministers of reconciliation, pointing people to the cross. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.